Okay, thank you very much, Trudy. We'll now break for lunch, and then there will be an opportunity for questions. We would remind you that the cost is $8, and we would appreciate it if someone at each table would count the number of people at the table, multiply by 8, and that's how much money should be in the basket when someone comes around to collect. So thank you. We'll reconvene approximately half an hour. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll reconvene the Southern Alberta Council on Public Affairs. And we say welcome to our television audience as well, which I neglected to do at the beginning of our presentation today. Before we ask Trudy to come back, I'd just like to announce next week's topic on May the 3rd. The topic will be oil sands and royalties. And to discuss this topic will be Amy Taylor from the Pembina Institute, who is well informed on this topic. And as you know, the Pembina Institute has done a lot of research on this matter as well. So we now open the floor to questions. We'll have Trudy come up here. And the microphone is here. We would ask you to identify yourself, make your comment and your questions brief. This is not an opportunity to editorialize. We want you to make your comment brief and to then address your question to Trudy. So, thank you.
Before we get started, I was asked a question before I started the presentation, and probably with a little bit of nerves and my stomach turning, I'd forgotten it in my presentation. And because of what was in the news this week about finding appropriate placement for clients, especially with dementia, what are we doing in the Chinook Health Region? And I just wanted to say, you know, with our plan, I just briefly stated about it, of looking at a number of living options in this health region. I'm very proud that this health region back in 2000 really put it on their target for planning of having appropriate living options. And one of the pieces is, and there's a great debate around it, but we really believe that we needed to move of anything what we build in the Chinook Health Region in partnership with anybody. Number one, we have private rooms to give respect to people when, because they're moving into a home-like setting. It's not into another healthcare hospital type setting. And so, and there's great debate how you make private space, but respect of private space. The other thing I wanted you to know is that we really have a dedicated approach of looking at how we build smaller home-like environments for clients with dementia. And that's not always the answer. I'm not saying that's the answer, the case that happened this week, but what I wanted you to know is that we've actually methodically been looking at appropriate housing and then assessing people appropriately and ongoing assessing of, you know, where is to help with the environment of the, their needs best can be met. So I want you to know that we have been addressing that. We're ongoing addressing that in our planning.
Hello, it's Jean Fennell. Thank you so much for all that you told us. It was almost more than I could hold. But what I would really appreciate you doing is giving us a practical example. If we take a woman or a man who cannot cope anymore in their home, who do they phone? Who interviews them? Where do they go? What are they asked? If they could just tell us the steps, would you please?
Now, the one thing is, I don't remember the number offhand, and I wish I brought the card, the access card. But if you, as a person, know, and the person out in the community is, gosh, I can't manage my hair. You know, I can't manage to bathe myself, or I can't, I'm really having trouble with my absolutely taking care of myself and doing my medication, and I need some help with organizing all this, and how do I get connected with people? It's just overwhelming. There is, you can call the home care office if you have to know the home care office number in your region, but what we did make it simpler in this whole region, there's a coordinated access number. 6380, but what's the?
388.
Thank you. 388-6380. That's Donna Stelmahovich telling me. I'm not good with numbers. So that's the number, 388-6380. But if you actually looked in the phone book under Chinook Health, there is a number for the Access Center. or if you went on our website and you look for the number, the access number, it'll be there. So from there, we are very conscious of having somebody call you back directly if you don't immediately get somebody at the end of that phone. But in the Access Center, there is an RN working 7 days a week, and they're working at least 8 hours, if not up to 10 hours in that day. We have somebody at the phone. It's just sometimes you get an answering machine if they're busy on the phone with someone else, but they call you back in a very timely manner. From there, what they do is where your home location is. So let's say you live out in Picture Butte. Well, then there would be a home care nurse from Picture Butte be calling you. And based on the conversation, they would call you the next day or they'd call you within 48 hours. That's the most timely way they would do that. From there, they'd figure out on the telephone conversation how soon they needed to come to your house and talk to you. Or if you were a family member, how you're going to orchestrate that visit with the client that needed to be seen. From there, the client would, the home care nurse, and they're registered nurses, and they're called home care coordinators, and that word, that big word I used about case management, it's like they've got a whole group of people, and they how do they help those people manage their plan of care? So that home care nurse would come out and visit that person at that home, and they would do assessment with them. So they would, you know, go through and ask them questions to figure out what their needs are. So there is an actual methodical assessment that happens at the same time listening to the client what their needs are, because what do they see their needs are and what that professional nurse is assessing as well. From there, they would could meet the needs different ways. So if that client is needing personal care to come into the home to cope, let's say their arthritis is acting up, it's severe, and they have no family. All, you know, their kids all live down in the States and they have no children in town, and they've just moved to Lethbridge back to Picture Butte in the last year, and they have no one with them. The home care nurse would talk about options, whether we needed to have actually a health care aide come into their home to actually help them with their care, or there was devices that could help them actually do it better themselves, because people like to do it themselves, they like the privacy. So depending on what the person needs, we'd start planning that plan together with the client. So if the client then, or the person, individual needed to move, that home care nurse would still be the person to help them with whatever the information they need. So that is what we call helping somebody navigate through that very complex healthcare system. What happens right now, though, because the darn system is complicated in how we connect, sometimes people get overwhelmed with information and it gets very difficult, and we don't have it all ironed out. We don't have it running every day, every single time. But, you know, when we talk to home care nurses, we talk to clients out there and they really connected with their home care nurse. They know who that person is, and there's a real connection, and they know if they run into trouble, they know who to call. So does that answer your question?
Thank you, ma'am. My name is John Boris. I've been in and out of hospitals since I turned 65, and up until I was 65, I was pretty cheap to keep with the government and everything. But after 65, as a result of a fall, things changed. The whole world changed. And one of the problems that I see is, this is not a question, I won't count this one. Do you really need or not two people in a room? I think you should not have two people in a room. That's all I'm saying. And you can tell me what you want. But the other question is, the thing that you have to do, I think, and I went through this because I fell twice now, you have to get the client, or let me put it this way, the giver and the taker to agree on what they're going to do. And I'm afraid that that's the one that's got the widest difference. My wife and I, should I do this or should I do that? She says, no, do this. I say, no, do this. And you could sit there for hours. You know, we don't, but the point is, that's the point. How do you narrow that down so the two of you agree on what's to be done? And if that is done, I think we're home. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm so glad you brought up falls. That's a real passion of mine personally, and I know it is of my boss sitting right here. is that, you know, when somebody is fearful of having falls, and falls is often the breaking point for people. So number one is, how do we actually prevent that? And I want to just tell you very quickly, there are some very cool things happening in Canada and us here of looking at how to prevent falls. You know, even looking at, there is a researcher in BC that has even looked at the weight of women's purses, because us as women, and when we are not keeping our strength up in our lower legs and we're carrying a heavy purse, we can put ourselves off. And so I can't stress enough about looking at around your personal environment, about keeping your strength up, that how important that is to resist falls. But even though we do that, sometimes we have a nasty fall. And then how do we actually work with that fall afterwards? So I have to just make that mention about falls. And so there's lots of initiatives we're looking at, and I see a gal back in the back here too, that we're all working on committees together of actually in our busy lives, but how do we do fall prevention? And how do we get that message out? The other thing that, though, I really like what you have said, and, you know, I talked about a plan of care, but, you know, when I was a home care nurse, I always called it a mutual contract, because it's a contract, and it depends on who you're talking to, because everybody has to talk the same language. So whether it's a husband or wife saying, gee, what we're going to do, or we can't cope with things anymore, or it's the nurse and the client, they have to mutually agree of what that plan of care is. I mean, the healthcare system can't be the be-all and end-all for everybody, but what can we provide to you, and what's out there, and how can we connect you together? And, you know, working together is what the important piece is. So it's truly a mutual contract. So yes, we think we've got some good framework, John, but we have to get better at that mutual care contract.
Two in a room.
Two in a room. Oh gosh. Well, I'll step out here on two in a room. I came from Saskatchewan before I came here to Chinook Health Region. And the Saskatchewan government really promoted back actually in the early 80s that anything they built, they really promoted private rooms, because again, respect and living arrangements for people can't live in their own home anymore, for them to really feel sense of ownership and for inviting families in and to participate, a private room really, really supports it for a number of different reasons. So personally, I do promote anything that's built or anything that's planned, we look at private rooms. I know in the province there are people that believe that you can promote that private space in a semi-private room, but I'm being honest with you, I believe in private living space.
Hi, thank you for your most informative lecture today. My name is Ann Miller and I'm from Lethbridge. And I have a quick question. I think it's commendable that they've decreased wait times for chronic care facilities, but I have heard stories of people being placed out, say, in Fort McLeod, and often the partner can't get out because they're elderly, they don't drive, they've lost their license, or they're the only family members. What is the health unit or the health region doing to address this problem? I'd just like to know.
Yes. I really appreciate that, because I want, you know, the lady that's sitting on the chair here, Donna Stalmohovich, she can probably tell you most of the people in this health region that have had to move out of, we call it the 60-kilometer radius from their home, because it eats her gut. And so that is our policy right now, that we have a first available bed, because we don't have enough spaces when somebody can't live in their own home anymore, and they need to go to a living environment in our health region, that we don't have enough space to actually always meet somebody's needs in their own community. The other piece is that we believe it's very important if somebody's sitting in a hospital, they need to get out of the hospital as quickly as possible. And that's not because of the cost of the hospital bed. That's because that's not a healthy place for somebody to be on a long term. And for somebody that needs to have to get up and washed and dressed and moving and not lose the ability in their limbs, that hospitals are for people when they're very, very ill sitting in bed, but they need to be somewhere else. So how do we promote when somebody can't move back home, how do we get them there? So we have a plan to have enough beds in this region or enough living options in this region so we don't have to have that policy in place any longer. But currently, and I'm sorry to say that there are times when there aren't enough living options in the city of Lethbridge, and somebody might have to go out to Fort McLeod or might have to go to McGrath until something comes available in the city of Lethbridge. That seems to be our real real hot spot right now, but it does vary. It does vary. Oh, yes, Donna was saying the other hot spot right now, honestly, as of today, is Pincher Creek. We're having some stress in Pincher Creek enough living options. But, as we expand our number of living options, and that is in the plan as we're building and increasing, just I'm going to give an example in Pincher Creek. We had increased from 31 beds to 55. That was in 2003, I think, when we opened up. And in the city of Lethbridge, we have, built in this last couple years, we have built 185 increased living options. But we've got an aging population, and we have a number of people think that Chinook Health is a great place to come and live. So we've got people moving in as well.
So we need to speak to the couple suites.
Okay, yes. Donna wants me to speak to couple suites. I'm sorry, sir. When I talked about private room space, we also have identified in this health region, when we have more and more couples that are living, both are living, past their 60th or 65th wedding anniversary and are still living, but one or the other needs service. And it's a very, very sad thing when one has to move into a living option and they're forced to separation. That's not right in our rich province. So we have any of our new facilities we built, Pincher Creek, over at West Highlands, in McGrath, we have what we call couple suites. So the opportunity is when one person needs the care but the other one doesn't, but they both want to be still together, they can move into the facility together. And if one passes on and the other one then, the agreement is they would no longer need to be living there. But the most important thing is that they were together while their lives were together. So couple suites are very, very important that we need to make those opportunities. So anything that we're building, we're purposely putting that into our contracts with our partners. Thanks, Donna.
Fritz, with just as a matter of statistics, how many clients in the region?
Okay, boss, do you know that exactly? Well, there's 3,250 home care clients.
Did you hear that? There's Donna, did you want to come up and take that? Because Donna knows those statistics. I don't always carry those. I'm not as good at remembering numbers. I have to look at pages.
Thanks, Trudy. I'm not good at remembering numbers either, but I just happen to have been told these numbers recently. So we have 3,250 home care clients in the region, and that includes all of the clients that are getting service in their home, in lodges, and in the designated assisted living facilities. And then we have our home care or our continuing care facility clients. So here in the city of Lethbridge, we have 120 beds at Extended Care. We have 120 beds at Edith Cabell. And we are currently operating close to 100 beds still at St. Michael's Hospital. And then we have continuing care facility beds out in the rural areas. In each rural community, we have 70 in Tabor. Is that right, Trudy? 70 in Tabor.
60 in Crow's Nest Pass.
44 in Coaldale.
And Milk River is 20.
20 in Milk River.
Raymond's 35.
35 in Raymond.
Where are we at, Donna?
Who did we forget?
Pincher Creek
just had, they've got the designated assisted living, and they have 3 funded beds for facility-based, because what we have found through all of our studies is that the majority of the elderly people and people with disabilities that we look after need personal care and support. So they're all fitting into the designated assisted living facilities, and only 12% are really needing 24-hour registered nurse on site, and those are our extended care, our nursing home beds like Edith Cabell.
64 Cardston.
And there's 64 in Cardston. So those numbers are increasing ongoingly, and Trudy knows those numbers really well because she used to be our director of continuing care facilities, and now we've put her into the position of implementing all the new health standards and looking at compliance. She's the most appropriate person and the best person to do that for us. So thank you.
I'm Bridget Mearns, and I'm the Lethbridge's constituency manager, and I just wanted to pose a couple of questions to you. There's two things that we see a lot come into our office. One is the assessment. Either family's not involved in assessment and they wish that family were, and that people are being assessed into assisted living when really they feel they should be assessed into more care. So what they're finding is that they're being pushed into assisted living and having to buy care that that person needs. And the other thing is some issue with home care, that they're getting the personal care, someone, you mentioned someone with arthritis, so that they would get someone to help them, bathe them and dress them. But when it comes to having to get assistance for dishes or their actual physical home environment, that help isn't there. So I was hoping you might be able to address that.
And remind me if I don't answer both your questions as I go along, okay? So the first one is about assessment. So I'll take one step back. When somebody gets assessed for care, and what they want for care is that they're assessed for a continuing care or designated assisted living facility. That was the first question, right? The client is assessed for, there's a methodical assessment that happens, and that is discussed with the client. Now, if the client is able to make the choice of having somebody else present, that, you know, who else do you want present? And if that client is capable to make those decisions, they might choose to be the only person there. And so that's sometimes what is the rest of the story. And, you know, so we respect the person wanting to make decisions, if they're their decision maker. If they're not there, if they need somebody else to help them make the decision, then, you know, we always look, you know, we need to hear that if we have not had somebody involved that needed to be involved. Because I can't, you know, sometimes somebody maybe wasn't involved, but really, so often it is, if the client is making, is the decision maker, have they chose not to have anybody else with them. The other thing is designated assisted living is really new language. What is designated assisted living? And I talked earlier about having the right person do the right care in the right place at the right time, and the expansion of people's roles and how do we provide care. And so the nursing home of the old or the continuing care of the old is how do we evolve into lots of different living options. It was heard in this province back in the mid-90s that people wanted more options than just what we had in Alberta, which were, we call in this health region, continuing care. You've heard the other names like nursing homes or auxiliary hospitals. People wanted other options. So how do you get those options? And people wanted private rooms. And the other thing is that with our growing number of seniors and our exploding population, especially by 2010, 2015, how do we actually sustainably look at different types of housing for people? And housing, I mean respectfully. I don't mean just to house somebody, but respectfully finding good places for people to live. So that's how there was the real explosion of looking at designated assisted living. And designated means, actually, just to take a step back, that there's public regional health care dollars paying for the care dollars in those facilities. There's a contract with the health region. That's what the word designated means. And we are in a true belief in this region that designated assisted living is an alternative, a very close alternative to continuing care facilities. And really, what happens is that when we have professional licensed practical nurses working there 24 hours a day, and their expanded role, what they're able to do, and the care that's provided. So that's the designated assisted living is a new word, and sometimes people a really understanding of how the service can be provided in these different living options.
I would just speak to the fact that
Donna wants to add to this, and I appreciate her input. I hope you don't mind.
I think it's important to understand what Trudy said, is that the designated assisted living facilities have been designed and staffed to be a true alternative for the majority of clients that we currently used to put in a nursing home. And what we found, when we only had nursing homes, whether you needed just a little bit of care or lots of care, you had to go to the nursing home. And if we put people that just need a little bit of care into a nursing home, they very quickly become dependent. So we want to encourage seniors can be well and healthy And we want to design our living options to maintain their wellness and their good health. So if you just now in our region, we do have some choice for clients. If you just need a little bit of care, you might need 24-hour personal care and assistance. And we have personal care aides working in lodges now. So you can get that in a lodge and you don't have to go to a nursing home. If you need some nursing on site, the licensed practical nurse is now at full scope of practice. It's not quite equal to the 3-year registered nurse program, but it's close, and they can provide a lot of service and interventions now that they couldn't have 5 to 10 years ago. So they're on site in the designated assisted living facility, as Trudy said. There are health care aides on site. We use a standardized assessment to try to determine which stream the client should go to. But the real criteria to get into a nursing home now is that there has to be a demonstrated need for unscheduled assessment from an on-site 24-hour, 7-day-a-week registered nurse. And those groups of people are relatively small. From our home care nurses' assessments, only 12% of all people assessed need that unscheduled assessment from an on-site registered nurse. Now, I appreciate your comment. I think that it is new and people are frightened that the care is not available in the designated assisted living facility, but there are health care aides on site, the licensed practical nurse, activities convener, but the home care nurses do individual assessments to determine the need. And we've looked at a lot of studies. We study the movement between the various living options because our intention is not that someone goes to regular lodge, to enhanced lodge, to designated assisted living, to nursing home. We don't want to see people moving like that. We want to encourage aging in place. And there was, of all the clients we put in designated assisted living, there's approximately, and we've looked at this twice over the last 5 years, 12 to 13% that actually, which is a small number, that actually are forced or have to go to a nursing home. And it's usually behaviors that drive that, behaviors that can't be managed with the person with some type of dementia. So I think it's important for people to know that there is an appeal process in Chinook Health if they feel they're not properly assessed, that they can appeal that, their families can appeal it, and a review is done. And if people are not getting the care they require in any of our living options, we want to know that. We need to know that because that's how we adjust care and service. So I hope that helped a little bit.
The second question I think you asked was also about if a client was having personal care, they got their personal care met by home care, but then they had maybe some housekeeping tasks. And actually home care throughout this whole country and province, but especially in this province, and especially in the Chinook Health region, we looked at, and this was back in the mid-90s, I believe, if I'm correct in my saying so, is really looking at different ways people could get home care, housekeeping services, because really focusing on how we give people health care from the health region. And so if people were didn't have family members to help them, if they are no longer to do some of those tasks, or they were unable to purchase that themselves, there is some supportive housing, housekeeping pieces that they can be referred to, and the home care coordinators make those suggestions. And that's the way we've actually done housekeeping. The housekeeping task is somebody cleaning their home. But if there is somebody that is a very, very high need client, and let's say there is family members making the meal for them, but there is a health care aide in there, you know, 4 times a day, and the daughter lives in Calgary, but comes down every other week and she makes meals and has them frozen, you know, and they can actually have somebody assist and warm those up. Those are things that we work together because we break down every single task. It sounds, I hope it's very methodical. The assessments are very methodical, breaking down what is a health task and what is a housekeeping piece to be able to support people in the home and also so support as many people as possible.
Excuse me.
My name's Doug Petheridge, and I have a great number of questions, but I'll restrict myself to two. The first one's a bit complicated. Why do you have partners
in building? Who are they? What does it mean to, in terms of the arrangements, etc.? That's the first question. And the second one's a short one. How many cases does a case manager manage?
Yes, what are partners? I mentioned the Broda report earlier in the day, but even before the Broda report, the health region, and not just this health region, but many health regions have partners. But in the Broda report, it was really promoted, and from lots of input from people and looking at best practice, of dividing housing and health. So that's why really we have partners. That's a big piece, we have partners. So what do we have partners in the Chinook Health Region? We own and operate a number of facilities. I'm going to give you an example. Milk River facility is owned and operated by the Chinook Health Region. But in the city of Lethbridge, we have partnerships, Lethbridge Extendicare. They are the housing provider, and Chinook Health gives dollars for the health of those, gives dollars to provide the care in the Lethbridge Extendicare. We have formal contracts with housing providers. So we have a number of those in the health region. If you're asking me the number, I would have to stand here and actually count, but we have several formal contracts. And with those contracts, we work due diligence in ensuring that they're giving what we need from those contracts with those people. But that's dividing, the principle is dividing health from housing. Your other question was?
How many clients on a
okay.
case, home care caseload?
Right. How many clients on a home care caseload? And that really varies. And that varies from even the size of the population in the whole city. And Donna, are we still aiming about 40? So
55.
Our current caseload in the city of Lethbridge is about 55 clients per caseload. But, you know, that's clients that only need to see a home. There's clients on that caseload that really only need to see a home care coordinator maybe once every 6 months, to a very small number that might just need to see that home care coordinator every week. You know, so it's really, and those caseloads are actually reviewed on an annual basis. In fact, they're doing caseload reviews right now as we speak. So that's methodically looking at those.